Your toddler is screaming, toys are scattered everywhere, and you've just realized you forgot to pack lunch for tomorrow. Again, that knot in your stomach tightens as you scroll through Instagram, watching other parents seemingly glide through their days with organic snacks and perfectly behaved children. Here's what nobody tells you. Those parents are lying, or at least they're only showing you the highlight reel. The truth is messier, more human, and ultimately more hopeful. We've turned parenting into an anxiety-driven performance, complete with expert opinions, milestone charts, and enough rules to fill a legal library. But what if the cage we're trapped in is one we built ourselves? Modern parenting culture thrives on manufactured insecurity. From tracking ovulation to drowning in conflicting expert opinions about sleep training and milestones, every stage brings new products and ways to feel inadequate. Despite millennia of successful child rearing without apps and consultants, we're paralyzed by what if I'm wrong? The stakes feel impossibly high, so we surrender our instincts to external authorities promising certainty in an inherently uncertain endeavor. Here's the uncomfortable truth. The gap between our biological instincts and our confidence is manufactured. The parenting industrial complex profits from perpetual doubt, offering solutions to problems we didn't know existed. Breaking free means recognizing that connection with your child trumps any particular method, that the loving relationship you build matters infinitely more than following every expert recommendation perfectly. Picture a frazzled parent in a crowded supermarket, cart half full, two-year-old screaming at maximum volume. Shoppers glare. The parent mutters, "We're almost done." But why push through when everyone is miserable? One day, the decision came. Abandon the cart, grab the screaming child, and leave. It felt like failure, but became a parenting North Star. That abandoned cart represented a fundamental question. Am I pushing forward because there's genuine need, or because I'm terrified of what giving in might mean? We operate on unconscious rules we've never examined. Finish what you start. Don't let children dictate the agenda. Give an inch and they'll take a mile. But no groceries are worth complete disconnection from your child. The revelation isn't that leaving was right, it's that you have wiggle room in almost every parenting decision, unless death or severe harm is imminent. Understanding your own triggers matters more than always knowing the correct response. Sometimes the most powerful choice is asking, is this battle adding to or subtracting from my relationship with my child? Wrestling a defiant two-year-old into clothing every morning, the battle escalating until everyone is crying. Finally, locked in a bathroom, calling a parenting hotline in desperation. The counselor's question was disarmingly simple. Why can't she wear pajamas to preschool? Silence. The shame of realizing this entire war was self-created. As a perfectionist parent, control worked beautifully with an infant decisive, confident, strong. But at age two, that sweet baby rebelled, and suddenly the old playbook failed spectacularly. The solution wasn't better techniques, it was humility. Not false modesty, but genuine humility. Seeing beyond ego to recognize multiple perspectives, allowing freedom of choice, making room for mistakes and forgiveness. With clothing battles, humility meant understanding developmental needs rather than fixating on looking appropriate. Despite anxiety, daily reminders worked. Be kind and allow your daughter to choose her own clothing. Days turned into weeks, and the morning battles disappeared. That pajama-loving two-year-old eventually became a teenager who independently chooses appropriate clothing, because when you got out of her way, she could become herself. Sibling conflicts often escalate from minor tiffs to nasty blowouts. The instinct is to investigate every incident like a detective, determining fault and doling out punishment. But this approach misses the bigger picture. Effective intervention requires identifying patterns rather than isolated incidents. Common patterns include physical needs, hunger, fatigue, unconscious parental favoritism, unnecessary competition, transitions, intensity or special needs, attention-seeking behavior, and weak routines. Once you identify why your children fight, solutions become clear. The first step is counterintuitive. Stop what isn't working. If competitive scenarios trigger meltdowns, stop manufacturing competition. If you overreact to normal squabbles, stop the drama. Most importantly, stop trying to be the CIA of sibling conflicts. When you cease investigating every insult, you create space to actually support your children. Beyond stopping problematic habits, implement powerful strategies. Family meetings, special one-on-one time with each child, having consequences ready ahead of time, adjusting expectations based on developmental norms, and maintaining humor. The paradoxical approach works best, separating siblings when needed while building sibling resilience through supervised interaction. Every parent worries about technology's grip on children. Endless scrolling, social media comparisons, lost outdoor play. Screens dominate up to 8 hours daily, correlating with teen depression and anxiety. But ask yourself, who's really addicted, your child or you? Before addressing your children's tech habits, assess your own. Constant connectivity damages parenting effectiveness. Smartphones become 24/7 problem generators, diminishing our ability to distinguish immediate issues, fighting children, from non-immediate ones, every news alert and work email. Children need us to truly see them. Technology steals this presence, our eyes, smiles, and attention. When distracted, children remain in low-grade panic. Is mom listening? Did dad hear me? This uncertainty triggers whining and misbehavior as they desperately seek consistent attention. The solution isn't constant staring. When present, be fully present. When checking your device, simply say, "Pardon me, I need to check my phone." This basic courtesy models proper tech etiquette and matches words to actions. Technology is here to stay. Establish universal tech rules, check your own habits first, accept this battle never ends, and practice good tech etiquette yourself. The most important parenting moments happen when no one is watching. Late-night feedings while staring at ice-covered branches, willing your baby to gain weight, not losing patience during the 100th car shuffle, not sighing when eggshells land in batter, biting back sharp retorts to sassy tweens. These small, unseen decisions carry immense power. Simply showing up for your kids day after day is a genuine accomplishment. While your child came into being with all their potentiality intact, you undeniably shape their development. This creates tension, letting your child become who they are while recognizing your lasting imprint that often triggers, "I'm doing this all wrong." Our brains catalog failures, but we can pivot toward recognizing peaceful choices too. Your child's ADHD, intensity, or dyslexia isn't your fault. Life is just being lifey, and you can only control your reactions. So while acknowledging mistakes, also celebrate simple moments, the hugs, shared meals, late-night research about your child's needs. In a culture that commodifies parenting and sells certainty, remember, you know your child best. Your relationship, built through 1,000 invisible moments of patience, presence, and grace, matters more than any method or expert opinion. The prison bars of perfect parenting are largely self-imposed.